Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Colleen Emery has supported independent tech news directly for 5 years. Be like Colleen. Become a DTNS member at patreon.com/DTNS.
This is the Daily Tech News for Thursday, March 7th, 2019, in Austin, Texas. I'm Tom Harris.
And from Studio Feline, I'm Sarah Lane.
From next to the shores of Tom Merritt, I'm Justin Robert Young.
And I'm the show's producer, Roger Chang. And how y'all doing?
Also behind the scenes, Bryce Castillo from the Brian Brushwood Studios helping us out. Amos, woo-hoo, our intern, helping woo-hoo us out. And very happy to have with us as a guest, David Spark, producer and host for the CISO series. David, welcome back.
Great to be here.
We're going to get David's download on the RSA conference. You've been having some fun talking security with folks all week.
Yes, it's been a good time. I'm trying to think. I have done this sort of yearly check with you on RSA for many years. I think I did it when you were over at Twit too. We've done this a long time.
It's definitely 3 years running in a row. And yeah, probably a total of, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, maybe. Yeah.
I've been doing RSA. This was my 10th year. So it's been a while.
It's crazy. Yeah. Well, we're going to get to all of that, but let's start with a few tech things you should know.
The joint healthcare venture between Amazon, Berkshire Hathaway, and JP Morgan will be called Haven. The three companies announced the venture back in January of 2018 and named Dr. Atul Gawande as CEO last June. Haven will work with existing care providers and focus on helping employees of Amazon, Berkshire Hathaway, and JP Morgan navigate the healthcare process.
Microsoft beat its big cloud provider competitors to opening a data center in South Africa. Huawei is coming in later this year, and Amazon scheduled for 2020. Facilities in Cape Town and Johannesburg offer Azure services, and Office 365 hosting will arrive in Q3, with Dynamics 365 following in Q4. Say goodbye to those high ping times, South African gamers. Also, Ars Technica notes that Microsoft is investing in a fiber network reaching Egypt, Kenya, Nigeria, South Africa, and soon, Angola.
Nice. Nintendo announced new products in its Cardboard Labo line. The Labo VR kit will cost you $80, has 6 different kits, including just a plain old VR cardboard goggle, or the goggles with extensions like a blaster, a camera, a bird, an elephant, and a foot-operated wind pedal, probably for driving, sailing, I don't know. A basic kit for $40 has just the goggles and the blaster, and there are 2 expansion sets for $20 each that have the camera and the elephant in one and the bird and the wind pedal in another. All those new VR kit variations will be available on April 12th. All right, yesterday we talked about the declining popularity of Facebook as a brand, and then pretty much as you were talking about it, Sarah, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg told us what he thinks is the future of his brand.
Indeed he did, Tom. Zuckerberg made a post on Facebook Wednesday titled, quote, "A privacy-focused vision for social networking," unquote. In it, he emphasized Facebook's commitment to becoming a privacy-focused platform around the following principles: private interactions, end-to-end encryption, inducing permanence, safety interpretability, and secure data storage. Zuckerberg said, over the next few years, we plan to rebuild more of our services around these ideas. The interpretability section notes that Facebook wants to let users opt into the ability to send messages across Facebook, WhatsApp, and Instagram, and expand to include RCS on its Android apps. Messenger can currently do SMS, on Android.
It's your Florida accent, interoperability.
Interoperability.
Yeah, because it's all, basically, I agree with Molly Wood, who wrote this column for Wired, that this is all about saying our business in the future will be messaging.
So there are two things that I hear. I do hear that, but here's, and this might be maybe a little bit conspiratorial, Justin.
Mm-hmm.
Privacy very often means payment. It is a cut above the secure transmission, the secure keeping of your data, VPNs. These are all paid for services. What I think might be an interesting pivot is if this really gets them to the idea of Facebook wants consumer services. They want to be in the business of interacting with people and having revenue streams that aren't just carving up every element of your life and selling those cuts of meat to advertisers who want the demographics that you are offering to them. If that is a possibility, I think it is a value add that Facebook can feel good about offering to people. And I think consumers might enjoy, because privacy is more of a focus these days.
Some of this we've already heard about. Facebook for business group pages, for example. Facebook had announced recently, over the last couple of months, that the company would allow a group manager to be able to respond to some post on that group from Instagram, for example, or WhatsApp, and that would be seamless for the person who had originally asked the question, and they wouldn't know. So some of that is kind of like, okay, well, Zuckerberg is maybe just restating something that perhaps most of the general public doesn't yet know, and they want to make sure they spin it as, you know, Zuckerberg's plan for the future. But I wonder, I don't know. I mean, what happens to the news feed when everything is supposed to be personal messaging back and forth to one another? What happens to me being able to, I don't know, look at a page of somebody who wasn't my friend, and how does that change? Because that's the nothing. Facebook that I know.
Literally nothing happens to that.
Because he didn't mention them once.
No, because also that is their entire business. Their entire business is you doing things in public and them selling advertisers access to you. So that never changes. What they want is another revenue stream, not to replace the revenue stream that they have.
David, I'm curious, after spending a week with security folks, how this story strikes you.
Well, I would just say probably the big thing is encryption. I think that's probably the big story for the people back there. And I would just say, on the personal element, the other thing that Zuckerberg said was the reducing permanence element of it. I mean, everything you guys have said is I'm on board with regards to their business and revenue. He had mentioned encryption before. What's unclear, though, on encryption, because it's default with WhatsApp, will it now become default for all the other messaging? Because I got the sense early on that it wasn't default. Yeah. And as we have also discovered, while they say you can control your privacy, most people don't.
Yeah, he says in this post that end-to-end encryption is really important. He'd love to do them on Messenger and Instagram, just like on WhatsApp. But gosh, it's real hard, and they'll try their best, doggone it, to do that. He didn't promise it on either one of those. So I think that's important to note. Also, he spent a whole thing talking about privacy, and his big feature ad was, and will allow you to share your messages more across platforms.
But let me add one major issue, though, is let's say that you are the biggest privacy, you know, concerning person, and you have controlled all the elements, you've shut down all privacy elements, maybe you've completely removed yourself from Facebook or only have a limited aspect. That doesn't necessarily matter, because if all of your friends and family don't care about your privacy, mm-hmm. you can be triangulated regardless.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is the other issue. This is not about people who care about privacy now. This is about all the people that are learning about the fact that they might care about privacy in the next 10 years.
Yes.
Google is expanding its Duplex AI-based appointment reservation assistant from a limited test in 4 cities to Pixel 3 owners that want it in 43 U.S. states. It will work with any restaurant that takes reservations but doesn't have an online booking option just yet. The service will roll out to users on other Android devices as well as iOS in the coming weeks.
So this is exciting. This is Duplex hitting the big time, right? Like, a lot of people, including iOS people, are going to be able to use it.
Any of you tested it, by the way?
What's that?
Have any of you tested Duplex yet?
I have not had the pleasure.
I have not, no.
No. Okay. Have you?
I haven't, but I've had, like, then let me take it a step back. Have you had an experience with an AI assistant, some type of artificial sort of communication assistant, a chatbot of some sort, that you actually enjoyed the experience and it was valuable? I can tell you personally from my experience, I had one with Lyft where I was trying to get a $5 credit back for a missed ride, and it worked beautifully.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, and I had an experience with a Sonos Facebook Messenger bot, and it did not work well.
It did not work well.
Yeah.
No. Well,
the promise here is that Duplex you won't interact with it at all. You'll just tell it, I want you to do this, and it'll go make the phone call for you, come back and say, yeah, I booked your appointment.
But if you watch the video that they created, and who knows if it works, it still has to have some AI chatbot like capabilities, like when they're talking to the reservation.
But not to you. So unless you're the 15-year-old girl working at the hostess stand at the Italian restaurant want a reservation for, she's the one that's going to have to deal with it. We'll see whether or not it works. We'll see if it's, to me, it feels like one of those things that could have a little bit of a Google backlash.
It already did. It had its backlash last year at I.O.
in the tech press.
So we'll see whether we get a second wave.
We're not. It would be the mainstream press because you'd be calling non-tech people, and it's the rise of the robot reservation.
We had some New York Times stories last time, but that doesn't undercut your point anyway. Huawei filed a complaint in U.S. federal court Wednesday challenging the constitutionality of Section 899 of the National Defense Authorization Act. That section bans the use of Huawei and ZTE technology by U.S. government contractors on the basis of national security. Huawei claims there's no evidence out there that its products pose a security threat, and therefore, Huawei claims this constitutes what is called a bill of attainder. A bill of attainder is an act of legislation that targets a person or group to punish them without trial. So if I were to pass a bill saying Justin committed murder and he's going to jail for life, that's the law. That's a legislation, but I never put him on trial for it. That would be a bill of attainder. That is specifically forbidden. Bills of attainder are specifically forbidden in the Constitution of the United States in two places, Article 1, Section 9 for federal, and Article 1, Section 10, which says states can't even do this. We're not letting anybody do it. Similarly, targeted Kaspersky Labs has filed a similar suit about their targeting, saying, hey, that's essentially a bill of attainder. They have not had any success in convincing a court of that yet. No other country has yet banned Huawei equipment. Britain's National Cybersecurity Center last reviewed Huawei equipment in July and found low-risk shortcomings, saying this is not the kind of thing we deem as a hostile act. So there isn't a lot of evidence out there that Huawei is actually damaging. It's all about the potential to do it.
Yeah.
Documents released by Edward Snowden in 2013 showed that the U.S. planted surveillance beacons in Cisco routers, which have since been banned by the use of Chinese government authorities. So the opposite has happened with China. I would doubt that Huawei is going to win this, but if nothing else, it shows that Huawei wants to fight back.
Well, and obviously it has become personal with the detaining in Canada. And this has been a fight, and this will continue to be a fight politically. And in terms of how we look at this technically, when you talk about building out a 5G backbone, which is really what this is all about, the issue isn't, are you buying malware for cheap? It's, will China be able to resist if they have a backdoor that could be exploited?
Right. And would they be able to make Huawei do it? That's the other question.
Yeah. Which in terms of companies that big in China, at least the reputation is that that is something that is more understood than it would be in America.
And, it's the one issue is that it doesn't have to be a technological risk. It is something where they could use it in a geopolitical diplomatic sense where, oh, hey, suddenly, you do something we don't like. We can just suggest to Huawei, maybe just throw back on your service, because it's one of the things that's implemented in a national intelligence law that China passed about 4 years ago, that corporations are compelled to help the national government in intelligence interests.
Now, all of that said, the security researchers that I've read generally say we don't think they really have the capability to do this in their current equipment and current software. I'm curious, David, in your dealings with security professionals, what your impression is.
With with regard to this Huawei deal is that, you know, I think they always have concerns actually on everybody's kind of chips for that matter.
Sure.
Just Huawei, to tell the honest truth. And they're chronically finding hacks and issues. And this is why you have pen tests and you have hacker challenges for that matter to find problems. So I don't know if Huawei is unique, to tell you the honest truth.
Maybe
the government going after them for that matter.
That's kind of the sense that I get too.
I'll take really sad stories for 100. 78-year-old Jeopardy host Alex Trebek posted a video on YouTube Wednesday to announce he had been diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. He said, quote, "I wanted to prevent you from reading or hearing some overblown or inaccurate reports regarding my health. Therefore, I wanted to be the one to pass along this information," end quote. What is get well soon?
Yeah, definitely that. A lot of folks are reporting this under the headline that, you know, Alex Trebek circumvents the media, reaches out straight to his audience through YouTube.
But, you know, they've actually had a fairly rich social media presence for the last a couple years. I think that the, you know, Jeopardy in general has realized that they are a cultural institution. Alex Trebek is somebody that is looked at very, very fondly. And in this modern era where we find out more and more of our heroes are very flawed, I'll say mildly, the ones that are good and decent people are people that we tend to celebrate online. So I'm glad that he made this connection with his audience, people that are passionately Jeopardy viewers or quiz fans in general. And it is sad, but 78 years old on television, man, that guy still
with a 3 years still, left on his contract.
Yeah. Still crushing it. Jeez Louise.
Yeah. It's funny. I was watching some local news in Los Angeles yesterday because sometimes I do that in the evenings when I want to feel better about myself. But the big story, of course, because obviously Jeopardy is shot here in the city, is that, you know, Alex Trebek, and they're interviewing doctors who have ideas about whether or not he can beat this. And at no point did anybody mention, oh, and this was a YouTube post, and isn't that kind of interesting? And he had a genius way to circumvent this sort of media frenzy. It was the media frenzy that happened anyway, to the point where I was like, oh, it's on the set, which it was.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize it was a YouTube video at all. Nobody ever mentioned that.
It's almost as if the local channels don't want you to use YouTube.
Right, exactly. Or don't really do
I'm their sure they plug their YouTube.
Maybe. I don't know. Let's finish with something a little happier. We wish Alex Trebek the best of health and hope he beats this.
Absolutely. Microsoft is open sourcing Windows Calculator, aka calc.exe. You know it, you love it. Well, you might love it, but you definitely know it. With source code available on GitHub today under the MIT permissive license, which includes the build system, unit tests, and the product roadmap for the calculator feature in Windows. You know, you might recall that Microsoft previously open sourced the original file manager to let it run on Windows 10 and recently made 60,000 patents open source to help protect Linux. So this isn't necessarily something that Microsoft hasn't already said that it wants to do, but a lot of people were surprised and delighted by the calculator going open source.
I mean, it's just, it's Microsoft dancing on Steve Ballmer's LA Clippers gear lined grave as they continue to embrace Linux and open source. Like, you know what? We'll just open source calculator too. Why not? Good for them. I'm glad. Hey folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, don't forget to subscribe to dailytechheadlines.com. All right. Let's talk RSA. David Spark, you've got a great roundup of some of the biggest stories that came out of the conference.
I'm going to say biggest stories that I was related to, because that conference is huge. There's no way I can see them all.
No, that's a fair point. We are not going to comprehensively tell you everything that happened.
No, by any stretch.
you've got some great stuff here. What do we want to start with?
Well, I would say that the biggest story, and it just so happens that we interviewed the co-founder on our podcast on this week, is the fact that Google Chronicle, or Google's company Chronicle, is part of the Google Ventures. They released a product called Backstory, which is one of these log management programs. It does security information and event management, better known as SIEM. And what is unique about them, and so they essentially collect you know, your company data and anything that you want to gather. What is unique about them is they're going to collect all the data you want to collect, that is, which is different than all other sort of competitive SIEMs that charge you by the amount of data that you collect. And as a result, you don't collect all of it, or you start dumping it over time. And so they're actually, the Chronicle backstory, or Chronicle, the company Chronicle, the product is backstory. They're going to charge by the number of users within your company. It's not exactly clear. So if you have 100 employees, I guess you sign up, you register for 100 users, and it will collect everything. And they claim that they're going to have better results in analyzing your log data because they're going to have petabytes of information. Now, when this news came out, and it was kind of huge at RSA, Rapid7, Splunk, and IBM stock dropped precipitously as a result. Significant drops, all three.
Could be a coincidence, but when all three that are in the same space drop, you figure it has to be Alphabet's Chronicle, right? Like this is this is one of those Alphabet companies.
Yeah, it's actually an Alphabet company.
Yeah.
I always forget to say it like that. Yes, well, it is Alphabet.
I always try to make a point of pointing that out when it's important like this, because a lot of times we think, well, Alphabet, it's really just Google, and they haven't had any of the Alphabet other companies, and there are dozens of them now, really take a leap forward. This is the kind of thing that could put them forward in the enterprise space.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be very interesting. And it's, by the way, this is all falling, what they're trying to do is falling under the machine learning umbrella, which, by the way, the whole security community is kind of getting a little sort of wrapped up in this sort of the obsession around machine learning. I actually had a really interesting conversation with a very smart guy by the name of Davi Ottenheimer, who actually is giving a talk tomorrow about machine learning failures. And one of the things I thought was really fascinating is machine learning essentially learns from our history. Well, there's a lot of bad and negative stuff in our history. And often what machine learning does is double and triple down on the bad stuff and amplifies it. So a good example of this was, you remember the story a while back when Google's image search was tagging African-Americans as gorillas. And so it became a sort of a racist machine learning.
Yeah.
What I didn't realize is that it tagged white people as animals, but there were white employees to catch that and to correct it. And this is a problem with Google's diversity problem. They didn't catch and correct the other problem as well.
Yeah. So, and we've talked about the biases that are built into machine learning coming from the biases of the data. And if you don't have the perspective to see a bias, you won't be able to catch it in the data. And the machine learning doesn't know, because it's only going on the data that you give it.
Right. And so what Alphabet, or actually Chronicles, as we're correcting, trying so many names of companies here, where Chronicles angle is, by keeping all of the data, we have a longer history. We can develop a machine learning algorithm sort of more correctly because we're not trashing data over time. And then there's this whole, by the way, issue of anonymizing data and how they're doing it, because they're not pointing to an IP address, which actually would violate some GDPR issues. So there's, and also soon to be, California Consumer Protection Act issues as well, which goes into effect beginning of next year. So this is going to take time to play out, but it will be interesting to see how their competitors react to this. Because if this is their pricing model, which is very different than the competition, it could cause some serious ripples.
This is also something that's interesting with Google specifically, is their DNA of Google was basically taking the money out of enterprise programs for Microsoft, you know, in terms of Sheets and Docs. Like, they basically made those industry standard free for people when previously those were paid programs. So they've always had a little bit of a complicated relationship with enterprise, because they've, you know, the DNA has been so consumer focused. So it's interesting to see them take this tack from the venture side.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we've got time to hear a little more of the tales of RSA. What else you got before we wrap up here?
All right. Well, I'll just say in general. I got to say this. I'll skip, you know, the fact that there were, you know, all the crazy booths and things like that, and But the thing, because we talked about this, I think 2 years ago about ransomware. Mm-hmm. Well, here's a new thing. Ransomware as a service, RaaS. Isn't this awesome? You know, one of the problems is I want to be a criminal of some sort, and I would like to blackmail people. And, you know, I don't really have the wherewithal to put up the money to start the process. So wouldn't it be good if I just paid a service to allow me to send ransomware, which for those people know what it is I send a malware to your machine, encrypts your whole machine, you pay me money, and then I decrypt your machine. By the way, you wouldn't pay me because I wouldn't do it. But the ransomware as a service model is to essentially do a money split. You sign up for the service, you send it out, whichever money you collect, you split it with someone else. Now, there's good news here. It's not okay, all bad.
Yeah. The good news is not turned to a life of crime with no other option.
The good news is there is an organization called NoMoreRansom.org. And as these ransomwares go out, they decrypt them and they make that decryption available on the site. And there's a team of people doing it and there's more people joining. So keep NoMoreRansom.org in your back pocket should this issue happen to you.
Yeah, and that's what you want. You want to have an arms race, because if ransomware as a service made it so easy that anybody could do it,
literally all you need is low morals.
Yeah, it's going to be it's going to be much harder to beat than if you have somebody out there saying, "But we're going to be right there."
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
They're decrypting this as fast as possible. And a lot of, I don't know if this was kicking around at RSA, but a lot of the blogs that I read are indicating that really ransomware is becoming too hard. So it's not surprising that someone would come up with a way to try to make it easier, because they're like, it doesn't pay off. It's too difficult.
Well, I mean, I had learned 2 years ago that the people were selling kits that you could do it yourself. You know, you install the ransomware kit and then you get a Bitcoin account. But this ransomware service had even leveled up the simplicity even more.
Yeah.
So it is a very tough arms race.
Well, thank you, David, for keeping us up to date with a little bit of what's happening over at RSA.
Thank you.
Thanks also to everybody who participates in our subreddit. You can submit stories and vote on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. If you want to hang out on our Facebook group, well, we've got a place for you. Facebook.com/groups/dailytechnewsshow.
Let's check out the mailbag.
Let's do it. Scott had some thoughts on the concept of popular devices versus best devices and said, instead of a Ring video doorbell, for example, I went with a Skybell because it works in a wider range of temperatures. I live in Vermont and provides a week's worth of saved videos without having to pay a monthly fee. Instead, having the Instant Pot, I went with a Zaver, which America's Test Kitchen found to be superior in several ways. ATK found the Instant Pot didn't sear that well and was bad at pressure cooking compared to the competition. And the Zaver has an alert if your top doesn't seal correctly, which is a common problem on the Instant Pot. It will just be forever to get pressure, but fall off the seal isn't good. It's really important to vote with your dollars and support the company producing the superior product. If we just support the popular, mediocre product, and not the best one, then the companies providing good products aren't going to succeed, and we're going to be forever stuck with only mediocre or even bad options.
I think you'll find plenty of people to debate what the best product is, but I agree with that sentiment.
Seems clear. Everybody, that's it. We've solved it. Spend your money on the best product. Wake up, sheeple.
I do think, though, that it's a fair thing to point out that you should look around at the Wire Cutter or American Test Kitchen, and there might be some options out there you didn't realize are there.
I mean, look, in today's day and age, we are more targeted with advertising than we ever have been before, and I think that is a great lesson here, is that if you see, if Ring has saturated your worldview, it's still worth a Google. It's still worth a Google to see what other options are there and whether or not the things are specifically designed for you. So I would agree with Scott in that, not everything that has the biggest advertising budget is the best for you.
Necessarily the best.
Put your effort in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thanks to David Spark for being with us. Spark Media Solutions and co-host of the CISO Security Vendor Relationship Podcast and Series. David, where can people find what you're up to and where to go to keep up?
Well, for this crowd, I would recommend go to CISOSeries.com. That's where you can see both the CISO Security Vendor Relationship Podcast and our new podcast, which we just started less than 2 months ago, called Defense in Depth, where we pick one hot topic and we go in depth. And I should say that my co-hosts for those two shows are Mike Johnson, the now former CISO of Lyft, and also Alan Alford, the CISO of Mitel.
Oh, fantastic.
Both awesome, awesome co-hosts.
Thanks also to Justin Robert Young for being with us. I know you're in Austin and having a blast, but where can people find the rest of your work?
Well, here's the only thing that you guys need to do is find Tom and I at the South by So Wasted live show. It is this Saturday at the North Door in Austin, Texas, just a couple blocks away from 6th Street, right in the thick of everything. Podcastlink.com/nightattack. It's only $18 now. If you buy it now, it'll go up at the door. So please make sure if you're planning on coming out, don't wait. Head on over to podcastlink.com/nightattack. In fact, just trigger your phone a voice assistant and literally say podcastlink.com/nightattack, and you will be able to get your tickets right there. It's going to be an absolute blast. Myself and Brian Brushwood are doing a night attack. We have the Ice Cream Social Boys coming in from Las Vegas. Tom's going to be there. Willie Dills, Andrew Heaton from Something's Off with Andrew Heaton. Musical performances by Dual Core and Jomo and the Possum Posse. We have packed so much value into this $18. I'm going to scream. I'll see you Saturday, folks.
No need to shop around.
Nope.
Podcastlink.com/nightattack. Also, our show is supported by you. You are the folks that give us the most support, and you are the folks we are answerable to. John just wrote in and said, "Dear Tom, Sarah, and crew, thank you so much for all that you do. I just recently became a patron, and I'm so proud to be able to say I support independent tech news. I have always told friends, family, and coworkers about the show, but now I can say that I am supporting it directly. Keep up the amazing perspective that you bring to the world of tech journalism, as well as the Frog Pants and Diamond Club communities. I really don't know what I would do without you in my workday. Cheers and mahalo from Maui."
John. Well, mahalo to you back, John.
Yeah, absolutely. Join John if you haven't already and get some of that aloha spirit at patreon.com/DTNS.
If you have feedback for us, our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We love your emails. Keep them coming. We're also live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 21:30 UTC. That works with your schedule. Rad. Find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
Back tomorrow from Austin, Texas with Glenn Peralta illustrating and Brian Brushwood
this show
as my guest.
Part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter.
Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.